So why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience doing corporate PR and events, and how does that relate to the publishing world?
You know, all publicity is basically about the same thing. It's about trying to get the attention of the media to get free coverage of your product, person, place, thing, book, whatever it is. So my background in events and corporate PR was really a great lead-in to doing book publicity because I understood the process. I understood that you have to have a hook and you have to be newsworthy and you have to be interesting and you have to be good at doing interviews to get people to pay attention. So it was really useful in that respect. What was different was that I didn't really understand that one of the best ways to sell books is through radio. You know, everybody wants to be on TV, and it's great when you get it. But if you want to move a lot of books, you want to do lots of radio shows. So what's radio all about? It's really about quantity. It's about getting lots and lots of people to hear your story. You can do these radio interviews while you're sitting in bed, you know, sitting in your living room, sitting in your car, just about from anywhere. The people that are interviewing you don't care where you are as long as you have a clean phone line. And in the early days when I was self-publishing, I had an 800 number, and I could gauge the success of every radio interview that I did because I would give out my 800 number so people could order the book. And sometimes the phones lit up and I sold lots of books, and sometimes nobody called. But what I really got to understand was that almost every single radio interview was worth doing for one reason or another. And one of my favorite stories about radio has to do with Wayne Dyer. When Wayne first got into the business, he had a book called Your Erroneous Zones, and it was published by a very small publisher. He had a little VW bug. He put the books in the trunk, and he went around the country selling the books and doing whatever interviews he could get. And one night he was doing a small radio show, I think it was like 1 o'clock in the morning on Long Island. And as he was driving home, he was thinking to myself, what am I doing? Who in the world is listening to this show in the middle of the night? Am I wasting my life? And the next day he got a call from the producer of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, who said, you know, I was listening to you on that radio show last night and you're pretty good. Why don't you come on the show? And he went on to do something like 28 appearances with Johnny Carson, which launched him into the stratosphere, which proves the point. You never know who's out there. You never know who's listening.
Ariel, for someone listening to this who's not familiar with the game, some people don't even know what PR is or what public relations is all about. Can you give us just a quick overview on what it is and why it's so important?
We know that advertising is paid space or time or air, but publicity is free coverage. It's either free editorial or free television coverage or free airtime on a radio. And the way you go about getting that is you pitch a story. You pitch somebody as an expert. You pitch something that's newsworthy. So there are lots and lots of places to get free publicity. There are newspapers. There are daily newspapers like the LA Times and the New York Times. There are weekly newspapers like the LA Reader or the San Diego Weekly. There are alternative weeklies like the Village Voice. There are the freebie giveaway penny savers, they're called. So there's lots and lots of newspaper print opportunities in the world. Then there are monthly magazines. There's women's magazines like Red Book, Women's Day, Vogue. You know what I'm talking about. There are men's magazines. There are trade publications. There are shelter publications. There's thousands and thousands of magazines. Then on top of all the print, there's radio. There's local radio and there's syndicated radio. By syndicated, that means the same person is heard in more than one market. Like Dr. Laura is syndicated in about 350 markets, whereas your local Dr. Joe may only be heard in your hometown. So syndicated's better than local, but everything's better than nothing. And in terms of television, the opportunities are morning TV shows, local news shows, and then, of course, the big talk shows. We all about Miss Oprah and all of those. So altogether, there's probably 500,000 media outlets just in the United States. So once you figure out what your hooks are and what it is you have to say, you then have to start targeting which media realistically are you going to go after. If you're a first-time author and you don't have any videotape and a track record of appearing on talk shows, it would not be wise to be pitching the Oprah show. They'll never have you on because they don't have anybody on that they haven't seen tape on first. So you want to start small. If you're a first-time author, start getting some local coverage, even if it's local cable access. And if you can't get on local, then hire a TV crew and create your own EPK. EPK means electronic press kit. This is something that you can send out to the media that shows that you're capable on camera. It tells your story. It has a video package. It has B-roll, which is the tape that they run on the screen while you're there talking live. It may have your press release that's downloadable. It may have still photos. But an EPK is really the most sophisticated way to get your message to the media these days. So print, newspapers, magazines, television, radio, getting it for free, that's what publicity is.
Can you describe what other kinds of media opportunities are out there?
Yeah, there are several things that you can do. There are what are called satellite radio tours, and there are many companies around the country that are very qualified to set these up for you. And you actually sit on the phone doing live radio phone interviews for 2 or 3 hours at a time, doing back-to-back-to-back radio interviews. I've done several of these, and you know, it gets a lot done. You can do as many as 30 radio interviews in 3 hours, which is reaching millions and millions of people and hopefully selling thousands of books. But it's exhausting because basically every single person who's interviewing you is asking you the same questions everybody else asked you. So you have to figure out a way to stay fresh and make every single interview new and keep a beginner's mind about it. So that's the satellite radio tour, and they're very effective even for first-time authors. The other thing that's out there is called a video news release, and these are very specific and only for certain types of books and authors and experts. They're extremely expensive. The last time I set one up, it was $30,000, $35,000. But here's how this works. In a video news release, you hire a company that comes out and does a news package on you. So you have to have something that's very timely and has a news hook. And what they do is they follow you around, they interview you, and then they tell every TV station in the country that at a very specific time, they are going to broadcast this interview live over satellite, and they can download or downlink the interview for free and use it on their newscast. I have had experiences where this has been extremely effective because we managed to hit a slow news day and lots of maybe dozens of TV stations around the country picked up the story and ran it. About a year ago, I was doing the PR and marketing for the Alliance for the New Humanity, a nonprofit organization co-founded by Deepak Chopra, and we were doing a video news release out of Puerto Rico about all the different Nobel Peace Prize winners that were there and all the VIPs in the peace activist world, and we did a VNR, a video news release, and we spent 2 days taping it, editing it, putting it out on the satellite. We decided to put it up on the satellite at Sunday morning at 1 a.m., figuring that Sunday would be a very slow news day, and we'd get lots of pickup on international cable stations as well as different U.S. local TV markets. So I woke up on Sunday at 6 a.m., turned on CNN, so excited, sure I'm going to see information about the Global for the New Humanity event. And what do I see? Saddam Hussein has been captured, and it's international, global news. We got zero pickup. Well, not zero, maybe 1%. You know, it was just one of those things where breaking news ruled the day, and there was nothing we could do. There's no way you can recoup the investment. It's just a roll of the dice when you do a VNR.
Can you describe what a satellite media tour is?
So here's the truth about a satellite media tour. If you live on the West Coast, you have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you live on the East Coast, you can get up at 4 a.m. But what this is you're sitting in a room looking into a television camera while you're doing 20 to 25 back-to-back live TV interviews with different television shows across the country. So you're talking to, you know, AM St. Louis, and you're talking to Indianapolis and Palm Beach and Newark, New Jersey, and you're doing 3-minute interviews over and over and over again. They're very, very effective because you don't necessarily have to go out and do a book tour. You don't have to tour the country. These are the same TV shows you would have done had you shown up in those cities. That's sort of the upside. The downside is they're not for everybody. If you're a first-time author, you're probably not going to have much success with a satellite media tour because the TV shows in the other cities have their choice of people to interview. There's dozens of them happening every day with celebrities and well-known authors. So you want to be further along in your career before you invest the $15,000 or $20,000 it's going to cost to do the satellite media tour.
If I'm an author and I want to hire a publicist, what should I look for? What kind of requirements and qualifications are necessary to ensure a successful or at least increase the odds of having a successful product?
Well, there's several different ways to look for someone to do your book publicity. If you know a lot of people in the publishing world, you could ask for referrals. That's always a good way to go. Talk to somebody who's hired someone and then had a good experience. That would be ideal. If you don't have connections that way, then you can just, you know, get onto Google and start looking. You know, let's say that you have a relationship book and you want to know who did the PR for Men Are From Mars. You know, start searching around, see if you can find a press release that's posted somewhere and see if you can find out who the publicist was. You'll have to be a bit of a detective. But once you sort of get your hit list of 3 to 5 publicists that you want to interview, here's what you want to look for. You want to find out, do they do a lot of books? Have they done books in your category? Were they successful? Are they willing to give you referrals? That's really important. You want to check up on referrals. If it's more than just a one-person firm, who in that office is actually going to be working with you? A lot of times the person who owns the agency is really adept at giving a good meeting, but they're not the person who's going to be on the phone selling your book. So it's critical that the person that will be assigned to your book, that you bond with them and that you get to interview them and make sure that they're enthusiastic, that they sound good on the phone, that they really get you and get your material. And then find out how many other projects they're working on while they're working on your book. If they've got 20 other authors while they're working on you, you don't have to be a mathematical genius to figure out that they don't have a lot of time to take care of you. So once you figure out you've identified the right people, you know who's going to be your account executive and taking care of you, you're sure they've got the right time, then you have to become their partner. You have to be very active. You want to be giving them ideas on how to pitch you, different angles. You want to be watching TV and reading the newspaper and looking for what's happening in the world today that you can speak to. And if you see something happening, whether it's local or national, that you can provide your expertise in, call up the publicist and say, you know, I just read this story and here's what I have to say about it. Why don't you pitch me as an expert? And be very, very proactive. You know, ask for weekly updates. You know, you want to know what's going on. I can tell you that at the beginning of the relationship, not a lot is going to happen in terms of getting you interviews. It's not like you hit the ground running. It's a growing process. Usually the first month, they spend writing your press materials, reading your book, building a media database, getting to know you. You want to be very specific with them about what your goals are. And be realistic. If you're a first-time author and you haven't ever done a TV interview, don't be asking them to pitch you to Oprah. You're not ready to go on Oprah. Even if Oprah said yes, you would blow it. So, you know, start with local interviews, you know, and then work your way up. I had one client a few years ago. Oh, this was such a tragic, sad story. He was paid $500,000 by a top-name New York publisher for a book. The editor and the marketing director both left the company, so he was what is called orphaned in the industry. Everybody forgot about him. Somebody managed to book him on the Today Show, but nobody bothered to tell him to get media trained or to media train him. It was his very first TV interview ever. He blew it. He stank. It was terrible. The book never did anything, and he never got another book deal. And that is a very typical story. So you want to be ready for these interviews. You don't want to start at the top, as much as we all would like to start at the top. It's a growing process. Just like you didn't learn to ride a bike the first time you got on a bike, you're not great on TV interviews until you've done a bunch of small local cable interviews. So getting back to the topic of working with a publicist, learn to partner with your publicist. You know, figure out when the best time of day to talk to them. And don't talk to them every day. Maybe email them every other day, but don't be a nudge, because if they're on the phone talking to you, they're not on the phone pitching your book. You know, and if you have a problem, if something comes up, talk about it and clear the air early. Don't let things fester. If you see that the relationship is not going in the direction that you want to go, you know, make sure that whatever agreement you signed has some kind of stipulation in there that either party can cancel the agreement with 30 days written notice, so that you're not spending your entire budget with a firm that isn't working for you. So like with all relationships, you don't always know on the first date if it's a winner, but you can do your research, do referrals, sit down with people, meet them face to face, get to know them, and most importantly, talk to the person who's going to be making your phone calls on the phone. You want to hear how they sound on the phone, because that's everything.
How expensive is PR?
Unfortunately, it's pretty expensive. You can do it yourself, certainly, if you've got the time and energy, or you can hire somebody. You can hire freelance people that have very negotiable hourly or project rates, or you can hire sort of the big guns out there that are handling the big name authors. You can figure that with most agencies, your monthly retainer is going to be anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 a month. If you're planning on going out and doing a book tour, sock away $50,000, because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to cost you for publicity and for travel and for everything else. If you want to do a radio tour and you're not going to book it yourself, you can probably find somebody to do it anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 to set up a radio tour. A TV satellite tours anywhere from $12,000 to $20,000. It's pricey, but you know, being an author is part of being a career, which is a big picture thing. It's not just a one-time thing. So start saving your money now. Read everything you can. If there are different workshops to go to the workshops. Everybody's got a different opinion on how to do this and do this right. But just know, at the end of the day, it's all about persistence and elbow grease. If you've got a story to tell, get on the phone and tell your story. One of my favorite clients is a woman named Dr. Jill Murray. She's a psychotherapist from Laguna Beach, and Jill's specialty is abused women. And one day she was watching Oprah and she got an idea for a show. She wrote a letter to Oprah and said, "Why don't you do a show about teenage abuse and how the abuse cycle begins in teenage dating?" And the Oprah people called her up. She did an entire hour on this topic. And this was way before she ever thought about writing a book, and had the whole show to herself. And at the end of the show, Oprah said to her, "If you write a book, I'll have you back on." And that's when I first met Jill. So you never know what's going to work, but you need to figure out where you're a good fit. Not everybody's a fit for Oprah. And in fact, most authors are not. She has very few nonfiction authors on these days. You know, watch the show. You know, don't pitch any show until you've watched it. And then figure out what's the best show that you could do and be persistent.
So Arielle, you mentioned smiling and dialing. I'd like to know, what exactly does that entail?
Smiling and dialing is the art of the pitch. It's cold calling. It's a sales call. It's about seducing somebody on the phone. That's the essence of what it is. And it takes a lot of persistence. I used to time it in the past, like how many calls do I have to make to land a story? And on average, it took about 8 to 10 calls to the same person to finally get an answer. I mean, these people at the radio shows, the newspapers, the magazines, TV shows, they're busy. They're not answering their phone. They're barely listening to their voicemail. So you need to come up with a 30-second pitch that's really crisp and clean, that you can leave on their voicemail, that's going to compel them to call you back. And in the enclosed materials that we've sent you, we've got some sample scripts that you can look at to see what a good pitch would sound like. But one of the things I want you to know up front is no does not always mean no. They may say, "No, it's not for us." Don't take it personally. What that means is no, not today. No, not right now. But the truth is, the angle of your pitch may not have worked for them today, but that doesn't mean you can't go back to them 3 weeks or a month from now with a new pitch. Let me give you an example. Years ago, we used to represent a psychologist who was an expert on many different topics, crises, people with post-traumatic stress syndrome, child abuse, all different kinds of things. And, you know, every week we were trying another pitch. You know, at one point, I was reading the headlines in the news, and I'm dating myself here. This was in the 80s, but the headline was that Sean Penn and Madonna, who were married at the time, were fighting, and Sean Penn's behavior was just really atrocious, and it was attracting a lot of attention. So I talked to my client, the doctor, and I said, well, what do you think about his behavior? And he went off for 5 minutes about what that behavior meant and how it affects other people and how you can spot it in your own mate. So picked up the phone, called USA Today, and said, how'd you like to talk to an expert doctor who can explain why Sean Penn behaves as bad as he does? We got a front page story out of it. So you need to just keep looking at the news, looking at what you're an expert in, trying different angles, and realize that no does not mean no. It just means no, not right now.
How do I decide which media to send my material to? And how do I find them?
Before you begin pitching the media, you first have to figure out who in the media you want to pitch. You need to build a database. So let's briefly review all the different parts of the media. When it comes to women's magazines, you don't want to send your book to the book editor. Why? Because the book editor is getting hundreds of books every single week. What you want to do is figure out, should you be pitching the health editor, the beauty and fashion editor, the lifestyle editor, or the features editor, all of which would be better choices than the book editor. At a lot of the big magazines, what generally happens is all of the books that come in go straight onto this big conference table where they sit and sit and sit until somebody finally picks one up and either reads it or throws it away. So you want to be thinking in advance, okay, what kind of book do I have? Do I have something that would be appropriate for health? Or do I have something that's specifically for mothers or for women over 40? And then pitch those specific people in the media. Daily newspapers have lots of different sections. There is the lifestyle section, the sports section, the entertainment section, the business section. So when you're deciding which newspapers you want to go to, figure out who at that specific paper, or actually all the papers, do you want to go to? Do you need a feature editor, a seniors writer, a childhood health issue writer? And then when you're putting your database together, you can have people targeted by groups. There are lots of different types of magazines and newspapers. There are women's magazines, men's magazines, general interest magazines. These would be Time, Newsweek, People, Star, Us, In Touch Weekly. There are health and fitness publications like Health, Natural Health, Men's Fitness, Organic Style. Then there are the daily newspapers. There's USA Today, Wall Street Journal, which are basically the two national newspapers. And then every city in America has at least one daily newspaper. Then there are weekly alternative papers. Those are papers like the LA Weekly, the San Diego Reader, the Village Voice. There are also regional monthly New Age publications like the Whole Life Times in LA, Vision Magazine in San Diego, The Edge in Minneapolis, Common Ground in San Francisco. And then there are the TV shows. There's the morning shows you're familiar with, Good Morning America, Today Show, CBS Early Show, Fox and Friends, the CNN show. Then there are the TV talk shows, the Oprahs and the Montels and Ellen DeGeneres. And when you're pitching TV, you want to be able to target different producers. So at the morning shows, quite often there is a book producer, but my advice is if you can pitch a producer that's more niche or more specific to what you're doing, like a health producer or a money producer, you may stand a better chance than just going through the book producer. at the national talk shows, you're going to want to watch these shows in advance and watch the credits and see who's been producing different kinds of shows. There are many different free newsletters that you can subscribe to that will tell you which different media are looking for what kinds of guests. There are also some very good ones that you can pay that are a nominal fee each month, which will tell you what the media is looking for. All of these are listed in the reference guide, so you can decide which ones you want to subscribe to. Once you figure out what types of media you want to target, you'll then need to build your media database. Personally, I use Bacon's Online. Although it's a little pricey, I find it to be the easiest and the best one to use. You can search thousands and thousands and thousands of media very, very quickly. You can say, I want to target health editors in the top 100 newspapers. And pretty quickly, you will have put together a database of these health editors. And then if you want to send them all an email blast, you push a couple of buttons and bam, you've targeted all of them. So you can go to bacons.com and talk to somebody on the phone, tell them what your needs are, and they'll tell you which program they offer is best for you. If you decide that it's not quite affordable for you to subscribe to one of these, you can always go to the library. Many of the big city libraries get the Bacon's Media books, and there you can sit and do your own research and write down the names and addresses and phone numbers of the different media that you want to pitch immediately. If all you're interested in right now is pitching locally, the Yellow Pages is probably going to be your best bet. They list all the TV shows, the different stations, the radio stations, the newspapers, and the magazines. There's a bit of a learning curve to putting your database together, so give yourself some time, get familiar with it. Try not to take on too much at one time. Maybe say you're just going to pitch women's magazines first. But give yourself a chance to really get to know the media, try to develop some relationships, and begin building your database.
We've talked about publicity, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about developing relationships with the media. What's that entail?
Just like developing a friendship, developing relationships with the media takes time and energy and persistence, and it's really critical. These people are sitting at their desk, they're under deadlines, they're going to meetings, they've got to come up with new, fresh ideas every day. And if you call with an unfocused approach, you're wasting their time, you're pissing them off. So when you pick up the phone to call somebody, you need to know ahead of time, what's the result you want to get? What do you want to say? And you want to be sensitive to their state of mind. If they pick up the phone and they sound harried, just ask them, is this a bad time for you? Are you on deadline? Are you busy? And if they are, they'll say so. And they'll say, just say, no problem, I'll call you back later, and hang up. You know, but if they're saying, okay, I've got 1 minute, and that's the most they'll have, tell them what you've got. And then if they're not that interested, just, you know, lead the conversation on. Say, you know, well, what are you working on? What are you looking for? What, maybe I can help you with something today. I've got a big Rolodex. What's going on in your world? And try to develop some rapport. If they decide to engage in a conversation and they don't really have much going on, talk about the weather or play what I call the name game. And here's how you play the name game. I developed it about 15 years ago when I was pitching a business writer named Steve Horowitz. And I wasn't getting where I wanted to go with him. And he was the key business guy at the LA Times. And I really needed him. So I said to him, Steve Horowitz, did you grow up in Hollywood, Florida? And he said, no, why do you ask? And I said, oh, well, I went to high school with a Steve Horowitz. And he said, you're from Hollywood? And I said, yeah. He said, you know, my parents live in Hallandale, which is the next town over. And I said, oh, really? Do they live at Three Islands? Now, everybody in Hallandale lives at Three Islands, but he didn't know that. And he said, yeah, how'd you know? And I said, well, are they in Building J? And he said, no, they're in H. I said, oh, my cousins are in J. And suddenly we're playing Jewish geography. Now, you can do this with anybody. If they've got an unusual name, ask them about the name. Where are they from? Try and find a way to connect to them. If you don't want to play the name game, talk about the weather, talk about sports, tell them a joke, but just don't bore them. But try to do something so they'll remember you, they'll be open to you. And when you are finished with the conversation, just say, you know, thanks for taking the time to tell me what you're up to. can I call you back in 2 weeks if I have a new angle? And start that way. And then follow up with an email and just say, you know, it was great talking to you today. You're the friendliest media person I've talked to in weeks, or something cute like that. But that's how you develop relationships. Look for ways that you can be of service to them instead of trying to suck some energy, because other publicists are doing that all day long and they don't like it.
Do you have any advice for how a first-timer should approach the media and start the introduction or start the description of what they want?
I would say that you should rehearse your pitch before you start calling. But if you suddenly find yourself on the phone or in person and you're overcome with a case of the nerves, be honest. Just say, you know what? I'm a nervous wreck. This is my first book. I'm new to this world. I don't have $1 million to hire a publicist. So, you know, I hope you don't mind that I'm a little uptight about this, but I really am going to try and spit out what I have to say and the reason that I called you. And I think most people will, if you're being vulnerable and open and telling the truth about where you're at, unless they're an idiot, they're going to give you some space.
Arielle, what's in a press kit and why do you need it?
Press kit is really sort of like the crib notes to your book, because most of the media is not going to take the time to sit down and read your book cover to cover, but they will look at your press kit. So the contents should have a press release, which I'll explain in a second, your biography, what I call a canned Q&A, and a list of endorsements and testimonials. So what is the press release? In the backup materials, we sent you some samples of what it looks like, but it's essentially a 1 or 2 page document that is an overview of what the book is. It explains what are the important points of the book, why you, the author, are an expert and are credible and has some of your background. And it'll probably contain some bullet points about, you know, what the important messages are and what makes you and this book newsworthy. So the press release is key. If you have nothing else, you must have the press release. Then you want to have a 1-page biography that gives your background, your education, your credentials, your successes. You also need a 1-page pitch letter. And it's very important that it not be longer than 1 page. And this is the print version of the smiling and dialing. This is the sales tool. This is the thing that says, bam, this is who this person is and what the book's about and why you should have them on your show or in your magazine or in your newspaper. And you may want to have several different pitch letters. You might have one for radio and one for television and one for newspapers and one for magazines, and something that's very specific. You don't want to send out 1 pitch letter that says, dear colleague, and send it to every single person, because then they know that you haven't taken the time to specifically write something just for their particular media. The other thing that I think is important to have in the press kit is the canned Q&A. This is an interview with yourself. So you have questions and then you have the written out answers. And there's no definitive length of how long this needs to be. It could be 2 pages, it could be 6 pages. But you just want to have something that's very rich and deep and full of information. So after they're done reading it, they'll say, oh my God, we've got to have this person on, or we've got to do a real interview with them because the information's just so juicy. You also want to have a list of just questions. So if it's a radio person, they can pull this 1 sheet of 10 questions. And even if they haven't even read your press release, they can conduct an interview with you because they have good, solid questions to ask you. And finally, a page of endorsements or testimonials is always nice to have. And in a little while, we'll do a section on how to get these testimonials, but those are always nice and give you even more credibility. In addition to the press kit, you want to have some videotape of yourself, if at all possible, after you've been media trained on a local TV station. And if you can't get on local TV, then hire a talented crew and create a package that looks like you've at least been interviewed by a professional. It only needs to be 2 or 3 minutes in length, but they need to be able to see that you're capable of doing a good job on camera. Along with the press kit and the tape, you want to have either a finished book or a galley. If you don't have a galley of your book, then a printed out copy of the manuscript. If you're pitching a book, you have a book to sell, you need to send a book. And finally, if it's possible, you want to send something that will catch their attention. And what I mean by this, when I was promoting the hot chocolate for the Mystical Soul series, we would send out a mug with a packet of hot chocolate with the book and the press kit. Just a little reminder, something a little fun for them to nibble on. We worked on a book called Kids Health several years ago, and we sent it out with individual sealed packets of kids sunscreen and kids visors. So there was something to keep on their desk that would remind them that we had two MDs, pediatricians, that were experts that could talk about kids health. So any little something extra that you can send that isn't perishable or illegal or isn't, you know, a bribe, you don't want to be sending them money, you may want to include in the package that you'll be sending to media. And finally, you need a good headshot. Not something that your sister, your brother, your husband or wife has taken, but a good, clean, professional color headshot. You can stick it in the press kit, just a little 5x7, doesn't need to be any bigger. Or if there is a good picture of you on the book jacket, then you don't need to send the photo. You can just mention at the bottom of the press release that a JPEG is available. So that's your press kit.
What kinds of press materials should an author put on a website, and how can the website be used effectively?
The website is the best place to have your press kit. It'll save you a ton in mailing charges. So you want to have it all neatly and easily readable in a press room section of your website. You know, have, if you have more than one press release, then title the different press releases. You know, list your, that you've got a biography, you've got a Q&A, you've got different pitches, you've got your press release. If you've done lots of other media, then list that media. You know, list the different stations you've been on or the different media. If you've had newspaper articles or magazine articles, get them scanned, get them onto the website so they can read them.
Can you describe some of the most successful press releases that resulted in lots and lots of calls, and what were on those?
One pitch letter in particular that I'm remembering was when we were doing a book tour years ago for a cookbook called Looney Spoons by these two sisters, and it was a really fun, lighthearted, low-fat cookbook. And I wrote a pitch letter that you would sing out loud to the tune of the TV show The Beverly Hillbillies. And it really captured the spirit of the book. And a lot of the media people just thought it was cute and different. And they enjoyed the book and they enjoyed singing the pitch letter to themselves. And we got a lot of results that way.
If I want to pitch a story to a newspaper as opposed to a magazine or some other printed material, what's the difference or distinction I need to make when I'm going after these different media types?
You need to know what you want out of it. Let's say you're going after Woman's Day magazine. I hope you will have read a couple of issues of it before you try and pitch it. You need to know that they're going after the middle American woman who's middle-aged, who's a homemaker. It's not a, you know, high-powered New York executive type. So you want to have a story angle that fits their audience. So a pitch to Woman's Day is going to be very different than a pitch to Vogue. A pitch to the New York Times is going to be very different than a pitch to the LA Weekly. So you want to target your pitches to the media that you're writing to. I suggest that if you're going to be doing your own publicity, that you go to the largest newsstand in your town once a week and scan the magazines and the newspapers and see what they're writing about and take notes and figure out which editor is where, because you don't want to send out a generic pitch for everybody. It doesn't work.